Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
A very good evening and welcome to Point of View with Pamela Mudere. My name is Nzinga Kunta, standing in for Pamela for tonight. Let's begin with our top story for this hour. More than 900,000 learners are set to sit for the 2025 National Senior Certificate Examinations. Let's speak to the Minister of Basic Education, Sivue Hwarube. Minister, thank you so much for your time on Kaya 959 Point of View. A record number of learners set to write in 2025.
Good evening, Zinga, and good evening to the listeners of Kaya FM. Yes, indeed, a large number of candidates, both part-time and full-time candidates, amounting to just over 900,000 of our learners who are sitting for exams. Over 160 question papers that have been set, vetted and certified by Umalusi. And obviously a massive logistical undertaking, Dinga, because this is, you know, it's often said outside of the local government and national government elections run by the IEC, this is one of the most sort of involved logistical processes, because there's both the learner aspect of it, so the learner readiness that we look at and how ready are our learners to sit for the exams, but also the system readiness, which is a very involved process and one that obviously looks at also, you know, building in contingency plans for natural disasters, for community unrest, for load shedding, water shedding, and all of these things that we have to take into consideration when we are setting these up.
Yeah, if you're saying there's massive logistical considerations, can you just give us some insight into the coordination that you as the department have to do with other departments and parties?
Yeah. So firstly, I mean, the department has obviously have to set the calendar, which is important. For instance, we would have started, you know, exams today had it not been for the religious Diwali holiday. So those are some of the things that you know, you take into consideration in terms of setting the calendar. So you set the calendar. It's a 6-week process. It's a 6-week sort of window from writing to marking to standardization. Then we've got hundreds of marking centers around the country. We also have hundreds of storage facilities around the country for our scripts. Once the papers have been set, vetted, you have to undertake a printing process, which is very involved and obviously has to be incredibly secure. And then those scripts have to be stored. All of our trucks that are going to be delivering scripts to every single exam centers in the country have been GPS installed, so that we know exactly where the truck is at all times and where the stops are. Then, of course, we've got to make sure all scripts are delivered to all exam centers. All learners are actually registered and they appear on the register where they're meant to be writing. And then we have to make sure that we've got enough invigilators. We've got to have enough markers. And we have to make sure that those marking centers have backup generators, have backup water supply should we need them. Because the problem is, you will recall last year in the Eastern Cape, there was local flooding where a group of learners, I think about 40 or 50 learners, could not write computer science on that day. And so you then have to make sure then that you make provision for them either in an alternative venue or an alternative date. So that's why we try to make sure that every single thing we kind of seek to plan for, but obviously you can't plan for anything. And then in terms of learner readiness, I mean, that's why we're quite strict, particularly around the over 200 learning days of learning and teaching, because it's important that you cover the curriculum and that the last push, as we call it, is all about revision and making sure that learners are ready. When we look at learner readiness, we generally look at how learners have performed in quarter one, two, and three in relation to how the previous class had performed. And if it's generally in the same region or there's been improvement, then it's an indication that there is a well uptake of the curriculum and learners are generally ready. So it's those kind of two broad sort of systems of readiness that we look at: learners, and also just like the system of running the actual exam every single day for the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. There's always been concerns about papers leaking and cheating. What measures have been put in place to make sure that that doesn't take place? And have there been any incidents so far?
Mm-hmm. So the learners start writing tomorrow, mm-hmm. And of course we have been incident free up until now.
Okay.
Look, there's been a focus both on learners to talk to learners about the integrity of writing the NSC exam, and also just how it can really derail one's future to be found to be cheating. You would recall the incident that happened in Mpumalanga a couple of years ago, and how that was the subject of a court case, a very long litigation, and learners don't want to be part of that. You really just want to do your best and write.
Mm.
But the other problem becomes, and the issue around integrity is not just around learners, but it's also around invigilators. It's about people who handle our papers, because where we find group copying is where somebody has decided perhaps to sell a paper or to make a copy of a paper. And so we have to be extra careful about the people being vetted, about the security measures in place, no phones allowed in the actual centers. Also things, for instance, like if you have a child who's doing matric or a relative who's doing matric, you're not allowed to be handling live exam papers. So we really tried to try and foolproof the system. But of course, there's always room for things to go wrong. And the test is whether or not we can move quickly with speed to rectify those things.
Mm. One of the concerns when it comes to matric students is passing. And, there's anxiety about getting through. I remember it as a very stressful period, even though it was over 20 years ago. You panic quite a lot. And the Center for Development and Enterprises says, and I'm quoting them directly, the throughput rate at which learners starting in grade 8 pass matric in the expected 5 years is very sobering. Only 50% get through matric in the expected time. The rest fail, drop out, or repeat years. And then they're going to quote a University of Stellenbosch study which found that between 55 and 59% of pupils are overages in grades 10 to 12. Talk to us about failure and how you as the department think about it.
Yeah. So, look, the current throughput rate between learners who started grade 10 in 2023 and who are writing the NSC exams this year is sitting at 64.6%.
Mm-hmm.
It tracks very much with middle-income countries such as Turkey and others. And so we are comfortable that we are not doing poorly in that regard. But the concern here is this, and this is something that, for me personally, as a minister, I don't really take comfort in saying, we're not doing poorly. But one of the things that really contribute to either the dropout rate is children repeating grades. There's a policy in the department that a learner can't repeat more than four times in a particular phase. So in senior phase and junior or foundation phase.
Mm.
And so there's a number of learners who then either have to be progressed or who are repeating every single grade. And the reality then is that often that becomes such a deterrent for learners to basically finish their matric, and they end up either dropping out or finding alternative means. But we know for a fact that one of the things I started to ask the departments, both DHET and the Department of Basic Education, to do when I started in this role is to say we need to track our learners. We need to know which learners are dropping out, which learners are going to TVET and community colleges, which learners are in the not education and training category. Because it's important that we treat this as one education system, and we need to know where our learners are going. So I think one of the big things we need to do as South Africa is to understand that we're not going to fix the deficiencies of an education system when learners get to grade 12, 10, and grade 10, 11, and 12. We have to make sure that we start instilling quality and excellence at excellence in foundation phases.
Yes.
Because then we don't have to worry about children dropping out of school if we're making sure that the foundations of learning are solid. The reason, Zinga, we have a problem with uptake and participation and even success in gateway subjects such as math, science, and technology is because children aren't confident enough to take those subjects up. And the reason why that is not because they're less capable, but because the foundations have not been laid as strongly as they should. So the answer is simple. The answer is not simple. Mm. The answer is yes, we are doing all right in terms of our throughput rate, but I would personally want us to do better in terms of wanting to track where our learners are going, and I would want us to strengthen the foundations of learning so that we can really deal with issues of grade repetitions and dropouts by learners.
Yeah, if we move away from the throughput rate and take a look at the matric pass rate for the National Senior Certificate Examinations, what has that been like over the last 5 years? What are you hoping for post these exams?
Yeah, so I mean, you'll recall last year we got over 87% of the matric pass rate, and you know, it'd be great jubilation and great celebration around that. And somebody was asking me, what would success look like for you after a full year in office? And for me, I think personally, what I really want to emphasize, not only to our learners, but also to provincial education departments, our educators and parents, is that I would really like us to focus on the quality of the passes and the quality of the results. And so seeing more children take up math, science and technology for greater participation in the economy, seeing more bachelor passes, seeing really better like performance across the board. And also, you know, not to diminish the work that the class of 2024, 2025 will do, but it's important, Zinga, that we don't use the matric pass rate as the only marker of success, and that we need to constantly temperature check the system throughout the years. How are we doing? How are children who are 6 years old, are they ready to take on grade one after grade R? Are children able to read and read for meaning by the time they turn 10 in grade four? And are we temperature checking to see after grade six how well we are doing as we are getting into high school? So I really would like to see, I think, a culture change in our country where we celebrate the successes of our matrics, but also at the same time we introduce a more sort of substantive look of what does the education system, you know, substantively need to produce for us to really truly believe that it's of quality. So I think while I'm wishing the class of 2025 very well, and I know they're going to make us proud, I really want them to focus on really hitting the high notes and focusing on the quality of those passes so we can see them taking on further challenges.
Minister, speaking of challenges, there are always going to be issues. I know in the Western Cape, my niece may not be able to write because she doesn't have an ID. And they found this out late that she's been declared dead for some long story. So what about those kids who have challenges, who are now dealing with the anxieties of perhaps not being able to write, logistical challenges, perhaps even not being able to get to these centres? Have you got a dedicated resolution line or place where people can approach the department and say, this is my challenge, I'm meant to write tomorrow, but X?
Yeah. So we have a 24-hour resolution line that we've shared on our pages for people to be able to reach out. We also have a working relationship with Home Affairs during this time, Zinga, because sometimes people lose their IDs, or whatever the case may be, or somebody just didn't get their ID on time. So we've got a working relationship with Home Affairs to try and resolve those issues as quickly as possible. But really, the communication line between the provinces and national is heightened at this stage, and we've got literally people around the clock to try and resolve issues, because it can either be, as you say, an individual problem, or it could be that the center for some reason loses power or during the night or whatever the case may be, and we need to be quickly, you know, positioned to be able to resolve it quickly. The other thing is that all provinces form part of what we call the Prov Jonks and at JOCS, and also we form part of the NatJOCS. So that is a combination of our departments and the police and community safety departments. Again, just to be able to respond quickly to crises, issues of safety around the country, whether it's unrest in a community, whatever the case may be. So that's an established practice that we have in place so that we can be as responsive as possible. Because obviously the success of the period rests on us being able to have all our candidates writing on the same day, so that we have less of incidents where we have to repeat writing the paper, having to set a different paper and the like. So that's why we put a lot of effort in trying to get these things resolved beforehand.
All right. Minister of Basic Education, Siviwe Gwahube, thank you so much for your time on Kai 959 Point of View this evening. It's time for a short break. When we come back, we're going to be speaking to the National Technical Lead for HIV Prevention Programs at the World Health Organization about an anti-HIV jab that's going to be rolled out in South Africa in April next year. Do stay with us on Kai 959.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.